And so tonight we want to look in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. And I want to read to you just a small portion of this chapter, just about three verses. And I want us to pay close attention to the verse 16, the first verse that I read. And then we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Beginning in Luke chapter 8, verse 16. The Bible says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." Pay close attention to that. "That they may see the light. For nothing is secret that they shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whatsoever hath he to him shall be given, and whatsoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." So notice the words in verse 16 that says, "seeth it." And then turning back to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for allowing us the privilege, Lord, to hear and study and learn and even get the realization of what life is. Father, I pray that you help us tonight. Bless those that are sick, those that are struggling, those that are hurting. Lord, help them and strengthen them. And Lord, even those that might be listening or even future listeners, Lord, that might not know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to those hearts and cause them to realize the most important thing is the fact that they need Jesus. Help us tonight, we pray. May you get glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of our message is The Value of Light. The Value of Light. There's something that is a very popular saying that goes something like this. You really don't know the value of something until it's gone. You really don't know the value of something until it's gone. You know, I understood that several years ago, many years. Every time Father's Day comes, and even days that aren't Father's Day, I have that realization reminded to me when my father passed away. He passed away on July the 16th, 1985, and I woke up this morning thinking about him. And so I couldn't begin to tell you how many times that I've wanted to talk to him down through the years. But when he was living, there were times that he wanted to talk to me, and I wouldn't listen. There were times that he was telling me, and I remember one of the last in-depth conversations that we had, he was telling me and encouraging me, "You need to think about what you're doing. You need to think about life. You need to think about..." I was saved, but yet I wasn't where I needed to be in my relationship with the Lord. And he was trying to encourage me and talk to me. And you're talking about someone who that was speaking from experience. And the words still ring, and I mentioned it recently. One of the last times that I preached, I mentioned the fact that I said I had everything under control, but I realized not long after that I didn't. And now fast forward 30 some years later, and I would still love to sit down and talk to him, but I can't. One day I'm going to get to talk to him. one day we're going to sit around and we're going to fellowship and we're going to talk, and I expect he's going to tell me all about Jesus. But one day I'm going to get to, but now I can't. And there are some things in life that can be taken for granted, and you don't realize it until it's gone. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever walked into a room and turned the light switch on? And as soon as you turn the light switch on, the light blows? In our house, that seems like that happened very often. It don't happen quite as much now that we have these special bulbs that we're told we have to use. I hear there's a black market for the old bulbs. But as soon as you wanted to do something, or as soon as you wanted to go into a room or something like that, you turn the light switch on and it would blow. Now, one of the places that was more challenging was when we would walk into the closet. We have a walk-in closet. When you walk into the closet and you turn the light switch on and it blows, and then the light is kind of high up, so you have to get a step ladder to change the bulb. And if you're running late or if you're in a hurry, you don't have time. So have you ever tried to match clothes in the dark? Everything looks the same. Everything looks the same. Which brings up a point. In darkness, everything looks the same. Think about religion. I had someone tell me one time, and true story, I was talking to him at work one day, and he made the statement. He said, as long as you believe something, I think you're going to be okay. That is someone speaking in darkness. And that is the idea, kind of like trying to match clothes in a closet that is dark. You think, well, as long as I've got something on, it'll be all right. But that's not true. As long as you believe something, you're okay, he said. What is the value of light? The value of light is very valuable, especially when it's needed. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16 of that same passage says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. As a believer, our light can make a difference in a dark world. Let me tell you some, our pastor touched on it this morning, and let me continue one of the thoughts that he was mentioning. And I don't spend a lot of time watching the news. I do keep up with it, but I don't spend a lot of time. But let me tell you what I read just today. The number of Americans that believe in God has dropped to a historic low. Only 81% believe that God exists. Now you think, well, that's not too bad. Let me put it in perspective. In 2017, that same survey was taken, and it was 87%. So count the years. From 2017 to 2000, and this was taken in May of 2022, just in those short of years, we have declined from 87% to 81%. That's pretty startling. Now, that's just believing in God. That is not believing believing what we believe here and what we believe the Bible teaches, that salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That is just acknowledging that there's a God. I also read right after that, and I wasn't looking for these. They just kind of happened. Maybe it was because the Lord knew I was going to bring this message tonight, but there was an actual article that read, and I'll just kind of give you the highlight of this article. The morals are in a downhill slide. And then this is kind of touches on something about what the pastor said this morning. And it said, in the sports world, there was a decision that was made in competition, I don't know if it's like a competition council or it was the officials of the sports sanctioned sports events that dealing with women's sports and transgenders, they said that they didn't support transgender and they couldn't compete unless this change was made before they were 12 years old. If this change was made or this idea came about, if the child was 12 years old or younger, then they could compete in a sanctioned sport. The morals are declining, and they are declining rapidly. Tonight, I would like to just mention some practical things with that thought in mind. Some practical things that I believe that's important for us to understand, because in our verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under the bed, but he sitteth it on a candlestick that they might enter into may see the light. You see, people need to see the light of Christ. They need to see the light of Christ. So just some thoughts here tonight that I'd like to mention. It doesn't take a lot of light to make a difference. It doesn't take a lot of light to make a difference. When I was growing up, I was a scared child. I was afraid of just about everything. I was afraid of lightning storms. Y'all knew that story. I slept with my tennis shoes because they were rubber. That's what my sisters always told me. If there's a lightning storm, you're safe in a car because you're on tires. Well, I took it literal and started sleeping with my shoes. But they were tennis shoes. They were rubber shoes. But I also used to be afraid of the dark. And so I would be looking for any kind of light. So have you ever wondered why the, I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but just think about it. How many have night lights in their houses? Now, people really think they've got night lights so they won't fall and trip. I believe it's because you're scared. True story. We used to have a cat that used to harass Darla. And he did. He used to harass Darla. He would grab her leg and he would chase her and all kinds of things. And so one night she thought there was a shadow. It was dark and she reached down to pet him goodnight, and he was what she thought was laying in, you know, on the floor, and come to find out it was a pair of my britches. True story. So now, as a joke, every once in a while I'll say, night britches. Darkness can deceive. What looks to be right, or what looks to be what you think it is, when you put light on it, it's really not. And it doesn't take much light to make a difference. As I said before, as a child, I was scared and I would want a light on. If I could see some kind of light, then I would focus on that light no matter what part of the room it was in, even if it was in another room. Like I used to go to bed, my parents made me go to bed at 8:30 every night. Now I wished I could go to bed at 8:30 every night. But I remember my mother I would go to bed and she would cut out my light. And if I could see the living room light in some way, shape, or form, even if it was just a little bit, the way our houses were, we moved around a lot, but the way the houses were, if I could see just a little bit of light, I was okay. But as soon as it became very dark, then that's when I became afraid. The world is a scary place right now. It's a very scary place. You don't know anymore what a person is thinking. You don't know anymore. Used to, you could kind of get an idea of maybe what's on a person's mind. Anymore, you don't know what's in a person's mind. Because the world is full of so much darkness. But we still have a job to do, and that is letting our light shine. Letting our light shine. Because we're the only light that much of the world even sees. Think about David for just a minute. David chose to fight the giant. And there was a lot of talks and a lot of ideas, and the giant was out in the middle, and he was antagonizing them, and he was threatening them, and he was trying to coax them into coming. But there was only one that chose to fight the giant, and that was David. One of the smallest in stature that there was. He couldn't even wear the king's armor. He just chose to go out just as he was, pick up the stones that God told him to pick up, and with the one stone used his slingshot, the sling, and defeated the giant. You realize that the light that we have the opportunity to share can make a difference in a person's life. In this moral decline, I just read to you just what I read today. There's so much more that we could understand as a moral decline. But he used what he had, and God did the rest. What do we have? I just jotted down a few things that I could say that we have. One is the most important, which is the gospel message. That changed my life. Changed your life. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's still changing lives today. So we have a message to tell. There's something else that we have, and that is just an encouraging smile. If you're out in the public very much, just kind of stop and observe. There's very few people that are smiling anymore. There's very few people that even seem to be encouraged. What about an encouraging word? Something like, how are you doing? Or, I'm praying for you. Or, are you okay? Things like that. What about praying for others? You know, we pray. There's a lot of needs. But what about praying for others? What about praying for those that we know that are lost? And many, many, many other things that we could do to just simply shine a little light. God can use these things to make a difference. Notice the latter part of that verse that I read just a few moments ago that says that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Do you realize that our light can glorify our Father? Something else that I thought of, and that's the fact that when we do try to shine a little bit of light, then Satan tries to put our light out. He tries to put our light out. But you see, that shouldn't be something new for us to understand. That shouldn't be anything new, because that's been going on for many, 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 many years. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, what? Seeking whom he may devour. So that's not anything new. Maybe some days that it seems like that struggles are harder than others. But it's nothing new. So Satan wants to do that. Well, how does he do that? Discouragement, depression, disappointments, maybe even guilt and fear, anxiety. You know, I've talked to some people that I work with in our company, and I thank the Lord for different medicines that's out there that can help us with situations. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that there's something there. But there was something that I noticed, that there are at least 4 out of 6 people that work the same position that I work, just at different places. But 4 out of 6 of us are taking anxiety medicines because of the pressure. Seeking whom he may devour. Remember that this is a dark world. And I challenge you tonight that may our light never grow dim. Number 3, there's a need for light everywhere. There's a need for light everywhere. Back in the day, how many of you ever used to have flypaper that hang from your lights in your house? Do y'all remember those days? Kids today don't even know what flypaper is. But we used to have one all our houses had, when I was growing up, used to have flypaper that was hanging from the lights. And I used to watch the flies as they flew around the lights, and it would get stuck. That was entertainment for me. But think about in your own house. How many lights do you have in your house? One in each room? Maybe several in each room. Recently, I saw a light advertised, and you've probably seen it as a commercial. I saw a light advertised that could screw in a normal light socket. I've got 2 in my garage right now that you can adjust, and it takes the place of one bulb, and then it shines all kinds of light, very, very bright. And I was working on one of our cars the other day in the garage, and would you believe, even with that bright light, I still needed another light. There's something to that. Because no matter how much light there is, there's still something that's going to cast a shadow. Well, think about the morals in our world. And think about all the shadows that are being cast. And think about how our little light can make a difference. Our little light can make a difference. You see, we live in a dark world. Sin is everywhere. And we need light. But let me tell you something about that light. I'm going to give an example of something. And this is pick on me and Darla Day. The day that I gave Darla her engagement ring, we took a trip. And we went up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and I hadn't given her ring yet. I had it in the car. And we stopped off at Linville Caverns. And we had never gone into the cavern. We had never gone into the caverns before. And so we went with a group, and we had a guide. And there were lights all through the caverns. And we got to the the end, if you will, which was real big and real wide open. And it was really something neat to see. And then the guide said, now I'm going to cut the lights off. I don't want anyone to move. I want you to stand still. And I want you to see what total darkness looks like. But I need you to stay where you are. And so he turned out the light, and you could see absolutely nothing. I couldn't even tell, after a little bit, I couldn't even tell what direction, if you would have spun me around, I couldn't have even told you what direction we came in. So then the guide said something like, do you know we have natural light? And he said, what I want you to do is I want everyone to rub your hands together and just rub them just as hard as you can. And he said, eventually you're going to see a little bit of a glow. And then so I'm guilty. We started rubbing our hands together. And then he flipped on the light and started laughing. He said, we don't have a natural glow. Now, I tell you this story for a reason. I wanted you to laugh, but I also wanted to illustrate something. Rubbing our hands together in a dark room or in a dark cavern, we don't have natural light, and we can't make natural light. Now, think about that in a spiritual sense. Think about that in a spiritual sense. And while you're thinking about that, let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. Bought with a price. We have flashlights. We have electricity. We have all kinds of things that we experience light with. But everything that we have came at a cost. I've always been fascinated over flashlights. And back years ago when I used to coon hunt, my uncle had given me a light that you would wear on a hard hat, a light kind of like a coal miner's light, and there was a battery pack. And I would let it charge every night, and then I would use it the next night because I used to go coon hunting, you know, sometimes 5-6 nights a week a lot of times. And so I used that light to light the way. Well, one time that light went out and the battery didn't last. I used to have to put distilled water in it. And so one time that light went out. And so I was going towards where the dogs were, and I had to cross into a fence, a barbed wire fence, and I went into a briar thicket. And so as I walked through this briar thicket, I was getting stuck and getting, you know, even though I had what they call chaps on my legs for briars. But I still was trying my best with what little bit of light I had and to really have no light. And I would go through and I would go towards where the dogs were barking. And I got all scratched up. Well, when we got back to where our pickup truck was and we got the dogs and got back to where the pickup was, just about 10 yards from where I went in was a gate and a roadbed. And had I had the light, I could have seen that. But you see, whether it be flashlights they still cost. Batteries go dead. Whether it be your electricity, wasn't too many days ago that some of the area around here didn't have electricity. It comes at a cost. Someone has to buy it. I understand now when I was growing up, when my mother and dad, I'd leave a room and my daddy would say, cut the light out. I understand that because it came at a cost. But how much more of a cost was it when Jesus went to the cross for you and for me? And He paid the sin debt. Just so that we can shine and give God the glory. It wasn't free. It was free to us for all who believe. But it wasn't free, but it cost Him everything. And that's just exactly how much He loves you and for me. Something that I was teaching to young people this morning, and for the past three Sundays we've been talking about the resurrection. And something as I was studying, something that just really hit me, and it's amazing to me how Scripture just kind of hits you, and you know what it is, and you've read it, and you've even preached on it and spoke about it, and it just something hits it. But when we are resurrected, when our bodies are resurrected, the Bible talks about how that He Himself is going to come. And we're going to go up. And we're going to meet Him in the air. And something that really hit me is the fact that He's not sending His angels. He's not sending a chauffeur. But He cares enough about us that He's going to come. He's going to come. And so when you put it in perspective, when we think about the cross, it was Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. And it's Jesus that's going to come back and get us. That tells me that we're pretty special to Him. And that should make us want to understand the value of the light that God wants us to shine. Because even a little light makes a difference. I can't do this, but if I was able to cut off all the lights here in the sanctuary and make the windows dark, it would be very, very, very dark. It would be very, very, very dark. And I guarantee you, I have a little bitty light on my keychain. And I guarantee you that if it was dark, you would be thankful for this little light. Because I don't know if you've ever walked in this sanctuary in the dark before, but you can't see anything. And you think you know where the pews are, especially that one right there. You think you know where it is until your shin hits it. And you wished you would have had a little light. Well, we're living in a very moral, sin-cursed world. The morals are continuing to drop. I just read to you three things just a few moments ago. The morals are declining. But we've got someone who paid for the light. And all we need to do is do like the song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yes. May it shine for Jesus. Yes. In a moral cursed world that is continuing to decline. There are things happening today that weren't happening when I was a child. Just like I said, We really don't know the value of something until it's gone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize that we do have a job. Help us to realize that we do need to shine for the Lord Jesus because there was a price that was paid. Help us, Lord, to not look at the world as a place that is disgusting in so many things, although it is. But help us to realize that we can be a light to someone that needs Christ. We thank you, Lord, for challenging our hearts tonight. And as we have this invitation, Lord, if someone would just like to come and pray and say, Lord, I need your help to shine. I know that you'll give us that help. We ask your blessings on this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, brother.